Chapter 1. Nudged awake by his bedmate's restless movements, Simon Wolfgard yawned, rolled over on his belly, and studied Meg Corbin. She'd kicked off most of the covers, which wasn't good for her since she didn't have fur and could end up catching a chill. To a Terra Indigene wolf, catching something meant you wanted it, and he couldn't think of a single reason a human would want a chill. But apparently humans did, and could catch one in cold weather. And even in the last days of Febros, the northeast region of Thasia was plenty cold. Then again, if she started feeling chilly, she'd cuddle up closer to him, which was sensible, since he had a good winter coat and, being a wolf, liked the closeness. If someone had told him a few weeks ago that he would befriend a human and care enough to watch over her at night, he would have laughed his tail off. But here he was, in Meg's apartment in the Green Complex, while his nephew Sam stayed with his sire, Elliot, at the Wolfguard Complex. Before the attack on the lakeside courtyard earlier in the month, he and Sam had cuddled up with Meg to nap or even sleep through the night. But things had happened that night when men had come to abduct Meg and Sam. For one thing, Meg had almost died while saving Sam from those men. For another, something had happened to him on the way to the hospital, causing him to feel out of control anger. He had suspicions about what had happened, which was why Sam, who was still a puppy and lacked self-control, no longer slept with him when he curled up with Meg. Meg told people her height was 63 inches because, she said, that sounded taller than being 5 feet something. She was 24 years old, had weird orange hair that was growing out to its natural black, clear gray eyes like some of the wolves, and fair skin, strange and fragile skin that scarred so easily. She was a Cassandra Sang, a blood prophet. A female who saw visions and spoke prophecy whenever her skin was cut. Whether it was a formal cut with her special razor, or a gash caused by a sharp rock, she saw visions of what could happen in the future. The Sanguinati referred to females like Meg as sweet blood because, even when they were adults, these women retained the sweetness of a child's heart. And that sweetness, combined with the blood swimming with visions, made them not prey. Made them Namid's creation, both wondrous and terrible. Maybe made them something more terrible than the Terra Indigene had imagined. He would deal with the terrible if and when he had to. For now, Meg was Meg, the courtyard's human liaison, and his friend. She began making noises and pumping her legs as if she were running.
Meg?
She couldn't hear Terra Indigene's speech, but he tried anyway, since he didn't think this was a good chase-a-deer dream, especially when he was suddenly getting a whiff of fear off of her.
Meg?
Intending to nudge her awake, he pressed his nose under her ear. In the dream, Meg heard the monster coming closer and closer. A familiar sound, made terrible by the destruction she knew would follow in its wake. She tried to shout a warning, tried to yell for help, tried to run away from the images that filled her mind. When something poked her under the ear, she flailed and screamed and kicked as hard as she could. Her foot connected with something. Terrified, she kicked again. Those kicks were followed by a loud yelp and a thump that had her scrambling to turn on the lamp. Breathing hard, feeling her pulse pounding in her ears, she first noticed that the bedside table matched the image she had of it just before she went to sleep, except the small clock beside the lamp said 3 o'clock. Comforted by the familiar, she looked around. She was not in a sterile cell in a compound controlled by a man who cut her skin for profit. She was in her own bedroom, in her own apartment at the lakeside courtyard. And she was alone. But she hadn't been alone when she turned off the light a few hours ago. When she'd gone to sleep,